This Health Ranger Report Pandemic Podcast is brought to you by naturalnews.com for uncensored reporting and healthrangerstore.com for lab-tested preparedness supplies such as storable food, full-face medical masks, biostructured silver first aid gel, and iodine, only while supplies last. Pandemic.news update for Tuesday, April 14th. This is Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me. I find it fascinating that Trump is claiming total authority over the state's opening schedule or reopening schedule for, you know, when America should get back to work, and not a hint of any criticism from any conservatives over this, because if Obama had announced such a thing, I'm pretty sure every conservative in the country would be losing their minds right now, screaming about dictator Obama taking over the country. What happened to the 10th Amendment, folks? What happened to states' rights? You see, this is one of my frustrations with everything happening right now, is that there are very few people who operate on consistent principles. The principle of the 10th Amendment is that states have the right to decide what's best for them because states are more local. How does any president sitting in the Oval Office in Washington, D.C. know what's happening in Wyoming? Or Arizona, for that matter, or, you know, pick a state. How does a guy sitting in Washington, D.C. know what's best for the states? The governors of the states have the power to do the lockdowns, to initiate them, and then to end them. It's very clear. It's very simple. The governors have the power, as they should. The 10th Amendment is there for a reason. And I find it disingenuous that conservatives and Trump supporters are not voicing this very important point, states' rights, because we don't want some future Democrat president in the White House telling us, for example, here in Texas, where I am, telling us when we can close the economy or open the economy. I mean, we want Texans to be able to decide that, not some distant, you know, emperor or whatever. Now, there's another theory behind this, by the way, which is that the theory says that Trump has already secretly invoked military rule, that Trump has put us in a state of war or declared it in response to China attacking America with a biological warfare weapon. And in fact, Trump has dropped many hints. And if we are in a state of declared war, which would take an act of Congress, by the way, or a declaration of Congress, which hasn't happened, but if we were in a state of declared war, then Trump would be the commander-in-chief over the military forces, and Trump would be in charge of the entire country. So is that what Trump is saying, that he's in charge because we are in a state of war? Is he secretly saying we're in a state of war, even though it hasn't been declared by the Congress? He has said in many of his briefings that this is a war. He's used those words, that this is some kind of war. So does that mean that he is declaring it? Does that mean that he really is the ultimate power right now over everything that's happening in the United States? But we just haven't been told, the American people? That's an interesting theory. I don't know if that's true, but that would actually make sense if he's saying that he's got the absolute authority if we're in a war. Now, if you've heard my interviews with Dave Hodges and others, you know that, in fact, China has waged war or is waging war against America. So I wouldn't be surprised if Trump sees that and is taking it seriously. But if we're going to get into a war, shouldn't it be declared? If it's not declared, and you can't have a secret war with secret powers, that's not American. That's not the American way. So let's have some clarity on this. Is Trump using the term war metaphorically, or does he mean it literally? And when Trump claims total authority over the states, is he invoking war powers? Or does he not understand the Constitution? Because the 10th Amendment clearly sets out that states have the right to determine what happens in their own states. And by the way, it wasn't Trump that ordered the lockdowns. It was Trump who allowed the governors to order their own lockdowns. That way, Trump, quite intelligently, couldn't get blamed for the economic fallout. It's the governors who did the lockdowns and the mayors of some cities, for example. They ordered the lockdowns. Well, if they ordered the lockdowns, then they can decide when to lift them. And that's going to vary state by state. Now, Governor Newsom of California has laid out a 6-point plan for when to reopen California. It's kind of a bizarre plan, in my opinion. He says, well, you can't reopen California until most of the public buildings are redesigned to enforce personal distancing. Well, wait a minute. Does that mean they're going to have like a 2-year wait while construction crews wait for environmental permits from California's government to rework the lobbies of banks and restaurants? I mean, that seems like a crazy idea, but then again, it's California, so it probably fits. But what are you going to do in restaurants? You know, restaurants, they lease a certain amount of space and they have a certain number of tables, a certain density of people in the restaurant. If you take out half the tables to have more distancing, then every restaurant in California suddenly loses half its revenue because they can only serve half the customers at any given time. So that seems like an economic disaster in the making. I'm not sure that Newsom has fully thought through all of these things. Perhaps he'll modify them. Now, a couple of his points make sense. He wants to make sure the hospitals have plenty of personal protection equipment because that's been an ongoing shortage problem. He wants to make sure the testing kits are readily available so they can monitor infections and track them and do contact tracing. Okay, that makes perfect sense. I get all that. That's great. But some of the other components of his plan make it sound like California is not going to open for 6 months or something. I'm pretty sure the people of California are not going to voluntarily stay locked down for 6 more months. That would seem insane. But the point is that state by state, governors can decide what's appropriate for their states or even for different counties within their state. For example, in Texas, Governor Abbott might decide that certain counties have higher infection rates and need to stay locked down another week or 2 weeks longer than the rest of the state. Shouldn't this get very granular? In other words, shouldn't it be more local when we decide how to end the lockdowns? And I just hope, by the way, that as we end the lockdowns in America, that we do so in a rational, intelligent way that protects public health. And I've laid out my suggestions for that, which include mandatory mask wearing in public, in public transportation, and as well as, you know, restaurants and shopping, grocery stores, whatever. Anywhere in public, you should be wearing a mask. And in addition to that, there may be strong considerations for people who are elderly or people who have underlying health conditions such as obesity to take extra precautions against possible infections because those are comorbidity factors. You know, the obesity problem in America is a very big problem when it comes to this coronavirus. A lot of people who are dying happen to be obese. It has now emerged as the number one comorbidity factor. So since there are some cities where people are more obese than others, for example, Houston, Texas is the most obese city in America. Whereas, you know, Boulder, Colorado doesn't have the same obesity rates, nor does, frankly, Santa Barbara, California, for example. So shouldn't the decisions of when to reopen things be decided at the local level? And the answer is yes. But another final interesting point in all of this is that we're looking at a debate now about states' rights versus central government power. And this gets to the whole concept of the United States of America. The individual states are united under some amount of federal authority, but also with federalism, which is the states' rights, in mind. Remember, the term federalism in the constitutional context does not mean federal government has absolute power. It means that states have rights. That's what federalism actually means. So states' rights versus central government rights is becoming one of the big, I mean, I wouldn't call it a civil war at this point, but metaphorically, you could say it is a central debate about what's happening in America. And if this continues to create disagreement, then we could certainly end up with a scenario where states might secede from the Union. We might see the breakup of America if there cannot be agreement reached on these very important points of when to reopen economies and how to keep people safe and so on. I'm not predicting that it's going there, but it could. When you have, for example, Governor Cuomo has already said publicly that if Trump orders New York to reopen and Cuomo doesn't want it to reopen yet, Cuomo says he's just going to ignore the president. So that is essentially kind of the opening argument of secession, of New York saying, well, we're not going to be part of your Washington enforced government. We're going to do what we think is right at the local level. And typically, that's an argument made by conservative states, such as Texas, or let's say Idaho, for example. But in this case, that could be an argument being made by liberal states with some very interesting long-term consequences. So my advice is to watch this contention very carefully. This could escalate into a breakup of the United States if it's not handled well. And President Trump may find himself presiding over a disunited States of America. And then that leads us to the elections in November, which I think no one will trust the outcome of those elections if their candidate doesn't win. So, I mean, think about it. If Joe Biden wins and it turns out there were 50 million vote-by-mail votes that Democrats turned in, are conservatives and Trump supporters going to accept that election outcome when it's vote-by-mail fraud? Of course they aren't. Similarly, if Trump wins the election, Democrats, you know they're going to challenge it. They challenge every election they lose. They're going to say that the Russians, or who knows what, the Russians did it, or too many people had to stay home, or too many people were denied vote by mail because of federal requirements, or what have you. So I don't think that anybody's going to trust the other candidate winning, which means we're probably looking at really almost a Civil War type of mentality rising up as there is strong disagreement about elections and about who governs the states and the future of this country. So the breakup of America, you may recall I predicted in previous podcasts that Trump would be the last president of the United States as we know it. And now we're beginning to see exactly how that could unfold very quickly. But thank you for listening. Stay informed. This is Mike Adams here, pandemic.news. Check out that website. We've got articles and videos and podcasts and things every day, updated throughout the day, including statistics on infections and deaths stemming from COVID-19. Thank you for listening. God bless America. Let's fight for America, help keep it free, and help protect the First and Second Amendment, especially. Thank you for listening. When it comes to prepping, you not only need good products that can help keep you alive, awake, aware, and nourished during difficult times, you also need products you can trust. At the Health Ranger store, we do extensive laboratory testing using an in-house lab that's ISO accredited. It's inspected, it's audited. It's a 2-year process to even get that accreditation. We use multiple mass spec instruments, state-of-the-art science. I'm a published science author as well and a patent holder on several technologies, some of which we use variations of in our lab. The purpose of this lab is to help you make sure you get clean foods, superfoods, storable foods for emergency preparedness and survival use. We have a certified organic lab-tested, what's called Ranger Bucket collection of storable foods with some survival gear in the buckets to help you even boil water and cook those foods and so on. It's a fantastic product. We can barely keep it in stock even during normal times. In a crisis, we'll be wiped out of this product because it actually takes us a lot of time to make those products. But if they're in stock, you can get them now at healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. In fact, go to that URL, healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike, and you'll see some of our survival and preparedness supplies, including iodine, colloidal silver products and gel, first aid products, storable foods, superfoods, medicinal herbs for first aid, and much more. We have a lot of products for you to help you be self-reliant, to be safe, to survive difficult circumstances, natural disasters, and all kinds of things. If you want to get prepared, do it with us at the Health Ranger store so that you know you're getting safe, clean, laboratory-verified preparedness foods, supplements, and other related products. Again, the URL is healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. All one word, no spaces. Prep with Mike. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for your support. Thank you for watching. If you want to support our mission, visit us at healthrangerstore.com for the world's largest selection of lab-verified superfood and nutritional products for healthy living. It's at healthrangerstore.com.